This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and I am bringing you one of my clients today who I think you are going to find so relatable. She shares what's changed for her over the last several weeks, 9 or so weeks, in the Fat Loss Fast Track. And the way she describes it, I think, is something we can all relate to. She talks about how in the past, she would find herself sort of getting swept up in what was going on around her. Not necessarily being proactive, right? But being carried away by circumstances, by other people's agendas, by whatever food was around. She found herself really arguing for the fact that food was soothing, but on further discussion, really identifies that it's kind of a distraction. And we talk about how she can tackle a particular challenge that she has on a stressful situation in her week where there's lots of snack food and alcohol present. So she's really honest and candid about how she's changed the way she thinks about things, how she's learned to put just a little bit of space between what happens around her and how she makes decisions. It's a really powerful conversation. And I would love to remind you guys that if you want to learn more about how you can break free from the dieting mentality of all or nothing, on or off, really struggling to maintain motivation, join me on December 13th and 14th, that's a Tuesday and a Wednesday, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a totally free webinar series. And I'm also going to be sharing some more information about the Fat Loss Fast Tracks for those of you who are thinking, I think I need to get in on this in January. To register, just go to primalpotential.com/December. And for now, I hope you'll enjoy this really honest, candid, and powerful conversation with one of my clients. If I had to ask you, what made you join the Fat Loss Fast Track? When you first heard about it, what was it that made you say, this is something I want to do?
I heard one of your podcasts with somebody that had been in the class, mm-hmm. who was a chef, maybe?
Oh, yeah, Maggie, yep.
Maggie, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just really liked, you know, and I was kind of, at first, she both made me think I wanted to, and then also kind of like, oh, maybe that's not for me. But, you know, what she said was sort of that it was gradual and that she focused a lot on the mindset stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the food stuff is interesting to me, but I know that my area is the mindset stuff. And I did have your breaking barriers thing, but it's a little harder to do that on your own. And I've done it, but I thought I would just benefit from... you know, I thought, well, let's just go to another level. There's got to be, you know, your other mindset stuff was so helpful, mm-hmm. That I thought, okay, if we can do the mindset stuff, but just break it down in some structure each week,
yeah.
which you've got a job at, that, you know, then I can do more skill building because my tendency is to, like, I listen to all 10 or 12 breaking barriers in one goal.
Right.
And then listen to 5 podcasts and go for a hike and do all of this. And I thought, well, it sounds like she's going to just meter this out and I yes. won't be able to go too fast. Mm-hmm. So that sort of structure. And then I also thought the Facebook group would be really great, though it kind of coincided with my personal goal of doing less Facebook. So mm-hmm. I haven't used that as much as I would have.
So. Right. So when you say that the mindset stuff was really important for you, why? Why did you feel like that was an area where you needed to do some work? What was the struggle or the challenge? What was the problem you were trying to solve?
I'm trying to solve the problem of, I feel like I have been dealing with the same between 5 and 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Or like probably like 20 years, mm. right? And I know how to eat and I know how to exercise And when everything in my life, when I'm kind of what I call on, and I'm in mode, when I'm in a really good space, and my job's not too demanding, and I'm not fighting with anybody, and, like, you know, there's not, like, you know, stress of buying a house, right? That was pretty stressful for me. Mm-hmm. Then I am just almost effortlessly on point. But that's not life.
Right. Right? Well, and the thing is, if you continue in that cycle, and kudos to you for the awareness, if you continue in that cycle, it means you'll always struggle. It means you'll always be in that cycle of, I was good and now I suck. I was good and now I suck. So good for you for realizing something's got to change here.
Well, it was also almost like I wasn't even aware of, like, I was and I wasn't aware of, like, I felt like I was constantly, like, my job is a big part of it. I have a very demanding job of, I kind of at one point said, I'm sick of using all of my free time to recover from the damage that I inflict on myself when I'm stressed. And so rather than being able to even enjoy, let's say you have 4 weeks off, I would think, oh my God, I have 4 weeks and I need to take care of all the extra, you know, potato chips that we stress ate and all the extra wine we drank, et cetera. And you know, get back in shape in 4 weeks and then basically start the cycle again of, like, oh my God, okay, I'm going to work late. I'm not going to exercise. I wore those potato chips. And I was just like, this is nuts. Like, I cannot, I have to be able to keep, it's almost like I have to be able to find that voice and keep it with me all the time that is making choices. Because I literally feel like sometimes when I get wrapped up in stress, it's like an out-of-body experience. And so a lot of the tools you've given about, you know, do the journaling in the morning, right, is pretty key. I used to do it, like, whenever I felt like it. Like, I've been keeping a journal for years. But do it in the morning and put some structure to it. What do I want to do today?
Right.
How do I want to do? So all of that is, like, you know, people I think that wouldn't want to join, they'd be like, well, I already know how to eat. Well, I already keep a journal. Well, I've been tracking for 10 years. Okay. How's that working out for you? Because I was doing all of those things.
Yeah.
But it's almost more frustrating. I'm spending years and hours writing a daily journal. I'm spending years and hours of tracking food. And I'm spending all this time doing this, not super consistently. And yet it's only working when I'm doing it. And with whatever the missing piece is, what makes me continue to do it even when it's hard?
And, you know, you hit on something when you said you were sick of using all your free time, sort of recovering from your job and your stress. And I think that I can certainly relate to that, where I felt like my life was, I was always compensating. I was never living. I was always making up for something else or planning how I was going to make up for something else. And then you miss out on just living your life, and it always feels so hard.
Yep. You miss out on both parts, right? I feel like I'm less engaged, present, and productive, and, you know, really even enjoying my job, which I don't hate, because I'm kind of thinking I have to do it in this certain way, and I'm resentful of the sacrifices that I'm making, and already thinking, okay, I'm going to have some comp time or PTO to, like, erase this bad thing. And so, and then I'm resenting on my, you know, downtime of, like, wow, I'd like to do a project, but instead I feel the need to go to the gym and then take a hike and then, you know, make 5 million things broccoli or, like, whatever it is, right?
You're always pissed off. You're always compensating. You're always thinking that you wish you were either doing something else or experiencing something else or achieving more. And it's never just okay.
Yeah. And there's no continuity. Like, I felt like I was really missing. I used to sometimes, like, come out of those hard working periods and think, like, God, what happened? I felt like something else, some other person overtook my body and started making really bad decisions. And I would kind of think, like, wow, like, I started realizing if I don't check in with myself and then I'm not there, I'm not even present for my own life. I want sort of, what I'm getting out of this is sort of learning how to have continuity of self, and of the self that's not, like, you know, some evil gremlin that's taken over and trashing my house, but, you know, of good self.
Right? Yeah, like being present during your choices, being present in your experiences. What do you think specifically in the Fat Loss Fast Track has helped you most with that? Breaking out of this, like, I'm a passenger in my own life And sometimes I sort of wake up and go, how did we get here? Like, where was I?
Pretty much, yeah.
I can relate. What is it about the Fat Loss Fast Track that you feel has been a helpful tool in that process for you?
Good question. I think, I mean, you know, you can't ever isolate just one thing. Mm-hmm. But, and it's also, it's what I have to say too, and you're pointing out, is I listen to the podcast, I listen to the webinars, mm-hmm. And sometimes I get them a little intermixed.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're replaying old. Right. And I'm a little intermixed. But sort of, I think, just, it's almost, sometimes it's like the repetition of the message, but also sometimes when you're just like, hey, what are you doing? And you're almost talking to me as I need to talk to me. And I was looking on a thread somewhere and somebody said, you know, I like Elizabeth Benton, but she always seems like she's yelling at you. And I was like, you know, I like that because I feel like yelling at myself because really, what the hell? Like, why are you wasting your, you know, why are you wasting all this time? Get it together. So sort of the messages that you kind of constantly are like, where you're kind of just asking people like, you know, hey, this isn't happening to you. You're doing this to yourself.
Right. And are you even aware of that?
Right. Are you? Yeah. And I guess I'm aware of it. So, but yes, I guess if I wasn't aware of it, which is interesting. I watch sometimes people in the Facebook group, but yeah, people are like, oh, right.
Right. That, exactly. Yeah. Which,
besides, I could have chosen not to eat anything instead of eating the cookie, which was the only thing there, right?
Right. Yeah, why are you beating yourself up about it? Like, you chose it. It's cool. Move on. So,
right. But just that you have that, just sort of the reminder to, at the sound, it's like, it's been a reminder for me to disengage from life a tiny bit and step back a little bit so that I'm always kind of traveling in a bubble where I am evaluating with how I'm interacting with the world and what's it doing for me and what am I contributing?
Because when
you just kind of get swept along, but I kind of feel like I've built this sort of nice, like it's like a bubble, but it's permeable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not a boy in a bubble, but that it's enough space that I have the space to basically like, huh, I don't think I want to engage in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that looks like a waste of time. Or, oh, wow. Yeah. Pringles.
No, thanks.
Yeah. I remember how they made me feel last time. I think I'm going to pass on those, right? Whereas before it would be, oh, my God, there's the Pringles there, and I feel like crap because I've just gotten an argument where I was in that conversation I shouldn't have been in, and now my blood pressure's all high, and I need some Pringles, right? So,
and what you just said, swept up in it, or swept away, or swept along,
yes,
is such a good way to describe it. Sometimes we get swept up by other people's crap. Sometimes we get swept up by work crap, like situations or time management. Other times we get swept up in our own crap, like, oh my God, the Pringles, and they would be so good, and I've had such a bad day. And the way you describe disengaging just enough so that you can see it, it's real, it's happening, but it's not in control of you. There's enough of a gap between you and your choices and the things that are happening that you still are in control. You're still in the driver's seat. You might feel it, the pressure, the tension, the emotion, but it's not owning you.
Yeah. I think of, and I live in Northern California where we have pretty rough surf. I actually haven't been in the ocean probably for a couple of years, but I remember when I was little, we'd go to the beach and you'd do body surfing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the difference between when you catch a wave and your head stays above the wave the whole time, you kind of glide onto the beach and you're like, wow, that was fun.
Yeah, I nailed that.
You stumble, you fall, and then suddenly, have you ever been pulled under into a wave?
And you got water going up your nose.
And it's like you're in a washing machine, and then you're like thrown onto the beach kind of unceremoniously, and you're like a little battered and a little bruised, and you're kind of like, you have no memory of like, when you're gliding on the wave with your head up, you're like, oh, look, there's that person over there, and there's the beach. Oh, I think I want to steer over here. Whereas when you get pulled under, and you're being just churned by the ocean and then spit out again. Mm-hmm. To me, that is the difference. I wanted to learn how to like body surf a little better with my head up because I was kind of getting sick of being pulled over by the undertow.
Yeah.
And thrown up against like rocks.
I think you make a really great point about keeping your head up. And I don't even mean that in the like chin up buttercup kind of way, although I sort of do, and you could take it that way and you wouldn't be wrong. But so often we're looking down at what's wrong. We're looking behind us at where we've screwed up and just staying focused, not necessarily like sun towards the sky and everything's great and I'm happy and I'm positive, but where am I going? I'm looking right. where I'm going. I'm looking at what I want instead of what everybody else is doing, instead of what happened yesterday, instead of down at everything that's wrong. That's such a powerful takeaway for people. I think that's so huge. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, it's like having a plan. Because you think about it. How do you land in the middle of the ocean where you have to body surf home? You can either be dropped in and just start to flail.
Right. And then you're going to drown.
Or you take a moment and you're like, okay, I have a plan. I'm going to tread water. I'm going to look behind me. Okay, that's the wave I'm going to take. Yeah. And just, you're guiding. You're not just being like, oh my God, I'm in the ocean. I'm going to drown. And I'm going to just give in to that. Because that's how it is because I'm a victim of the ocean. And
that's right.
So yeah, it is both chin up, buttercup, take responsibility. You can do something.
Yep.
And you know, you still might get pulled under and like shoved down to the ground and like, you know, okay, cough it up. And
kick paddle, kick paddle, kick paddle.
Right.
Where do you feel like you still have work to do? Where does it feel hardest to you right now? Because one of the things, you know, we're in week 9 of the Fat Loss Fast Track right now as we record this, going into week 10. And it's not magic. It's not a cure-all. It doesn't immediately make all your problems go away. It is work. And all of the challenges are not overcome at once. And so I never want to like present it to people who haven't gone through it as like, poof, and then everybody's great. So where do you feel like you are challenged the most or the most often?
You know, here's the thing. When the days when you least, you have the least amount of time and the least desire to do just the basic tools. I think mm-hmm. of the sort of that basic tool set of get up, write your journal, kind of think about where you want to go in the day, taking that time, whether it's 15 minutes or half an hour, whatever it is you need to do, mm-hmm. and maybe taking a walk. The days that I have the most need for that are the days where I'm most likely to blow it off, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel super frenetic. So sort of building that discipline to, because it's a war, right? It's on the one hand, oh my God, I have so much to do. I really should go prep for that meeting or I should, I mean, I guess if you have kids, which I don't, you have to go pack lunches or whatever. That is competing for, I need to take, whether it's 5 minutes, I mean, whatever time you can squeeze out mm-hmm. to just focus and like connect with yourself. And when I can often, like some days I don't journal, right? We all forget and stuff, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the days when I actually think, wow, I should really do that today, and I don't do it because
that's
I'm
when
distracted.
It hurts.
And that is what it is. So sort of just, you know, the repetitiveness of sort of like kind of this, the constant sort of reminder and being in the class where there's always a challenge, right? So
yeah.
there's always something working on and thinking on, and there's that structure. And I like, you know, I like marking stuff off and
yeah.
into it. So, but that sort of constant sort of, you know, reminder, same reason, you know, people know how to work out, same reason you go to a gym, right?
Yeah.
Like, to keep yourself sort of focused and on task. And so my hardest thing, yeah, is that is, it is not automatic
yeah,
for me
like
to
do
recognize.
That.
Yeah. So, or even you know, to recognize when I'm going into crisis, the hardest part
yeah.
is recognizing when you're about to get hit by that wave.
Mm-hmm.
And like doing something about it. And instead of just kind of panicking and going under. So I still have days where I totally panic and go under.
So given that that's what your struggle is, and I wouldn't make this recommendation to somebody else who didn't have this struggle, but because, see, it's not so much that you choose not to do the work when you need to do it most. It's like the acknowledgement and the awareness and the time to give attention to, dude, today is one of those days where I need this the most. It's you're very well intentioned. It's just you're so focused on the other things that take priority that it's easy for this to slip behind. So given that, what might be a helpful strategy for you is to add in a section in your journal where first thing, before you do anything else, you say, how much am I going to need this today?
Right. Right.
And then that forces you to think about, dude, I'm totally underwater with this project, or I haven't been sleeping well, or I know that, you know, we're going out for this dinner thing or whatever. It sort of forces your hand at kind of premeditating the challenges or when you're really going to need it the most. And I think one of the things I shared, I know I shared it with my veterans. I think I shared it with the rookie group too. A few weeks ago, I had a stressful evening event that I knew was coming for a few weeks and I wasn't looking forward to it. And at the start of the week, I said, all right, so this is going to be the week when if I ever justify like 7 pints of ice cream and like a pizza and a bottle of wine, this is going to be the week. And recognizing that, like, this is the week when it matters most that I take care of myself, that needed to be more than just an awareness thing for me. Every single day it was, okay, what can I do today to really make myself feel strong and stable and cared for?
Right, and then the awareness with the tying it to what the action's going to be. Because exactly. I sometimes find the awareness, honestly, this is how it can go down. Wow, I got it. Because I work at home mostly, but I go to an office. It's a big corporate company once a week. And it can be stressful, right? Because I'm not used to being around people and I'm in meetings. And there's a train that I have to take. It's an hour and a half in each way. And there's wine on the train and hot dogs and candy and chips and things. And I'll bring snack and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to bring snack. But somehow the awareness of like thinking ahead, oh, this is going to kind of suck today, almost turns into a plan to be bad.
Yes. You're planning to fail as opposed to, so then what? People often stop at, I know this is going to be hard. And then you fixate on like pink elephant. Don't think about the pink elephant. And then you're like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And you've eaten 4 hot dogs and a handful of candy.
But right. And it's thinking that I'm going to, I don't know. So this is maybe you said, where's your point of struggle?
Yeah.
I can plan ahead and basically say, okay, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. And I've got this plan. I'm going to eat these fruit. I'm going to bring there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that or the other thing. And yet still, because that's a new choice, right? I'm going to deal with something hard in a new way. And then somehow you can have all that planned out and you can still default to your old behavior, right?
But here's the thing. So you've identified what's not really working for you, right? So this is the way you think about it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. That's partly a prescription. Like you're, that's part of the problem. But the other part is, you haven't established enough familiarity with the new behavior for it to not take a ton of work. So maybe what you do instead is the next time you have that train ride, you know what? I need to get one successful train ride under my belt where I get off that train and I feel like a rock star. And your focus is no longer, this is going to be hard and I'm going to eat my snack, because that has not yet been a really helpful strategy for you. So maybe the new strategy is one train ride that I nail. And then when you nail it afterwards, be like, how did that feel? How hard was it? Was it harder than I thought it was going to be? Or was it actually easier than I thought it was going to be? And really, I think
that focusing on the outcome, not
the activities.
Right.
It goes back to the notion of focus on not what you want to do, but how you want to feel. Not what you need to accomplish, but why you want to accomplish it, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes breaking it down into a smaller piece, like, come on, I can do hard things. I can nail one train ride and it's going to be amazing. And maybe you splurge and you buy yourself a magazine or you know, whatever it is, but you say, listen, I've done harder things. I've done harder things before 7 a.m. I can nail one train ride. And then when you realize like it felt so much better to do that than it did to say, ah, screw it. It's been a day. Bring on the wine and the hot dogs.
Yeah, totally.
So break it down and make it micro. Instead of this big issue of these days when I have to go into the office and all of the temptations, plus the stress, plus the time, plus the travel, break it down to something smaller. Today, the one ride today, I've got this.
Right. And also, I mean, for me, it's focusing on how do I want to feel? I'm big on, I do this, I've been doing this for years with food. It was like sort of, when I remember, of course, right? That's part of the fast loss backtrack. It's sort of putting me in touch with the habits that I already, everybody knows what to do. Where,
how will I feel while I'm eating this? Probably pretty damn good. How will I feel after? Crap, right? But that same thing of not letting myself go into destructive, soothing behaviors. Because make no bones about it, these behaviors work, right? I mean, that's soothing in a weird way.
Is that true? Or is it a distraction?
I think it's a distraction. I think that distractions can be soothing. Like, in the moment, I'm not thinking about anything else.
Right, right. Like, but we don't soothe ourselves for a moment, because we would if we were being eaten or stabbed. But when it's something else that's more than a moment, soothing isn't in a moment. It isn't in the time it takes to eat a hot dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yes, if I was sawing your arm off, you might want an immediate soothe because the pain is for that moment in time. But when we are talking about something that is not a moment in time, like emotional stress, is nothing soothing about that. It's only distracting.
Yeah, it is. It's distracting. It's keeping the, like, you basically, you just kind of putting off dealing with it, right?
You're going to deal. And then you're making it grow, because now, in addition to emotional stress or fatigue or anxiety or whatever, now you have frustration or disappointment or lethargy or all of the above.
Yeah, it's no fun.
So we have to be careful about telling ourselves that it's soothing, because the reality is you're making a bad situation worse. That's not soothing.
Yeah.
And when
I guess
take
more distracting. Yes. I think of it as, you know, it's funny is that when you say it, yes, it's not soothing because I feel crappy afterwards, exactly. But it all stems from the sort of the little whiny kid of, I've had a bad day. I deserve this to feel better, which is a lie, right? This is not going to make me feel better.
It's going to make you feel worse.
Right. But that's a pretty ingrained thing of, like, I think some people from childhood, I know, I do. Oh, you had a bad day? We'll go get some ice cream.
And the reality is asking yourself, okay, you've had a bad day. What do you really need? What is it that you really need? You want to feel better? How can we do that? How can we do that in a way that is true instead of the way that is habit or fast or untrue, right? Is it that you need to close your eyes and take a nap? Is it that you need to change the way you approach those days where you go into the office? So maybe the morning before or the evening after, there is something more genuinely soothing for you there. When we have the ability, when we are willing to say, what do I really need and what will give me that? Everything changes.
What do I really? I guess I did do that because now. It's bad. So now, if anybody I know is listening to this, particularly at my job, they'll be like, that's why you'll never come down on a Wednesday. I'm big on acupuncture. I can go to acupuncture on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And I can get a 6:30 appointment. If I don't have that appointment booked, I no longer will go to the office. Because it's the way maybe this is becoming a crutch, but like, one, it gets me out of there at a reasonable time, so I'm not hanging out there till the very last train. And two, I don't know if you go, what kind of acupuncture everybody's done, but you basically lay there and take a nap for 40 minutes and kind of rest. And it's something I really look forward to, and it's something that I would never, ever do with a belly full of hot dogs and wine.
And not only that, it's never going to make you feel guilty afterwards or disappointed after. So that is soothing. Hot dogs are not.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
so let me ask you a question. If you were talking to somebody who was like, hey, so, you know, I heard you on this podcast and you're talking about how it's helped you, or you ran into a stranger that said, I've heard about this thing called the fat loss fast track, but like, I don't know, I've spent so much money and I've done so much yo-yo dieting, like I just can't justify doing anything like that again. What would be your advice to them, or what would be your advice to yourself when you were considering this 12 weeks ago?
My advice to myself more came out of, I mean, I listened to your podcasts, and as much as I did learn a lot from like the fat loss breakfast, like I was like, oh, well, I've kind of instinctively been doing that, but I did tweak it. I stepped it up. I was like, oh, now I can really do that because apparently that's the thing to do. So for me, it was a lot of this sort of, I need the structure and I need to do this. Somebody that I was trying to talk to, I think I would first talk to them and just find out where they're at in their journey. And if they are really just in the spot of, I need someone to feed me a meal plan, and I'm going to track, and I'm going to eat 1,500 calories a day, and I'm going to do this, and they're still rote checking their ability to hit a list, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually learn how to train their brain to think.
Yeah.
I would look for that, because there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that I would say for like me who are like, man, you've tried that sticking to a list and nobody's got that much discipline to do that for 30 years.
Right. Maybe has it worked for you? Yeah.
Totally. Maybe you just need to train your brain to like, oh, here's the thing. Make better choices on the fly, right? Yeah. Because that's how you've trained your brain to move. But not everybody's there yet. There are still people who are so focused on anybody that wants to lose 10 pounds by Christmas, like they can just check out, right? Like,
yeah.
No, this is not the thing for you. But if you're kind of looking like, how do you just get out of your cycle mm-hmm. and probably end up losing? Like I went to the doctor the other day, apparently I thought it was like 7 or 8 pounds, right? Which, you know, I'm not a big person to begin with, so they're pretty happy about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those people, I would ask people, are you just tired of doing the same old thing, having progress, and then redoing it again?
Yeah.
If so, this might be give you some insight into why you keep doing it like that.
Right.
But if you're kind of at a point where you think that it's all about just doing X number of workouts and counting calories, and you get to just still have all your things, and you're secretly hoping that when this is all over, you can just go back to how you were, then it's kind of maybe not for you.
Totally agree. Couldn't said it better. If you're just like, hey, can you help me lose 30 pounds? Will you tell me what to eat? Yeah, nope. And you probably are listening to the wrong podcast, because that's just not my jam. If you're willing to pay attention to why you make choices and the choices you make, as opposed to, yeah, just tell me what to do. If you're ready to like figure yourself out, which changes every aspect of your life, not just what you put in your mouth, you know, I think you're spot on there. I'm so grateful that you're willing to share your story. And I got to give you like, not only props for being willing to share, but you have some really, really great analogies in terms of the way you are approaching, the way you make your decisions. I think it's tremendously powerful. And everybody who hears this is probably going to be as moved by it as I have been, if not more. So thank you so much for just being willing to share that with us. And thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. I think it's huge.
Of course, I really, you know, I think this has been so valuable. I've never been a big plan person, but I think that so many people would benefit from this. I don't want to say particularly older people, just because I'm a little older, but, you know, it's like when you have just been there and done that, and you're just ready to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to start in a different way this time. This mm-hmm. is a really good place to start, you know.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be a small part of your journey, and we have a few more weeks left in our Fat Loss Fast Track, so I'm pumped to continue to connect with you and help you in your journey. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Man, who can't relate to being pulled under by the undertow and thrown up against the rocks? I think that is just so honest and yet so relatable. We've all had those moments where either a series of choices or circumstances, our work has made us feel that way, but we don't have to continue doing that. We can, by relaxing a little bit, by keeping our head up, by focusing on where we're going and what we can do instead of on where we've been and what's happening around us or what we can't do, we can create such a feeling of control and empowerment. And that's really what you're seeing in these stories and examples. So just a final reminder, I would love to have you join me totally live. I will stay until every single question is answered on December 13th and 14th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a Lose Weight for the Last Time webinar series on how to break out of some of these cycles where you feel like you're being repeatedly pulled under by the undertow. Just go to primalpotential.com primalpotential.com/December to register and grab your spot. I will see you there. Have a great day, guys. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.